How's it going, Joe?
It's going great. Tuesday morning, Brian, and we are lucky enough in Amherst to have sunshine out the window. And I'm on the air with you. How could it get any better?
There's dark rain clouds.
But from what I can see, I can't see the dark rain clouds. I see the sun that just went under.
There's no sun.
When I said it, there was a sun.
It's the cloudiest week in the beginning of the day. It's all we've been talking about.
There it is. There's the sun.
Okay. Am I co-hosting with my three-year-old? Hey, Dad, there's the sun. You see, you sound like him yesterday. I see the moon.
Like, well, good. Yeah, I see the sun. It's supposed to be this cloudy, dreary day, and we got the sun out the window. I'm very happy. It lifts my spirits.
We're asking people over in our web poll this morning at WBEN.com, which former Sabre would you least like to see advance in the playoffs? Because it's just littered with former Sabres. You have Lindy Ruff winning last night in Game 7. He's the coach of New Jersey. Reinhardt's playing down in Florida, so is Brandon Montour. Ryan O'Reilly is playing with Toronto. Evander Kane playing over in Edmonton. Of course, Jack Eichel over in Vegas. Which of those former Sabres would you least like to see advance in the playoffs? Surprise, surprise, out of the five, Jack Eichel takes 80% of the vote, which might be a new polling record when there's five options for us to get 80% of the vote going to one option.
Yeah, I thought it was a no-brainer. It's
coming around to me, though. O'Reilly gets 1% of the vote. I think that's more just because he plays for the Leafs.
Yes, that's what I was about to say.
That's probably what the people voting. Because, like, O'Reilly winning the cup, it already happened. It's all, like, it's old news. You can't hurt me again.
Right.
Like, you've done the damage. It's over. Lindy, I'm surprised. Maybe people don't like the Devils or something because you would think people would be behind Lindy and maybe even rooting for. I know a lot of people are rooting for him. You see it posted all the time. So I'm surprised that he got a decent chunk of the vote.
I'm not rooting for Lindy, but I wouldn't mind if he won the cup. There is something about the Devils, and I would like him to have done it here, but I have no ill will toward Lindy Ruff.
Evander Kane would be another one on here, 8% of the vote. Sam Reinhardt with Florida, I don't want to see them win. But Jack Eichel takes it away with 80% of the vote. If I could vote for all of them, Joe, I would.
Yeah, right?
I am that type of person when it comes to watching the Sabres, watching the Bills. I don't want to see players who used to be on the team and didn't win anything with the team. I mean, you have to be on the path towards sainthood for me to root for you after you were on my team.
Yeah, I never understood that. I mean, I got upset when Rob Johnson got a Super Bowl, Brian. All right, so
That doesn't count, though.
It does, because he still got one, and that's why it upset me.
But it doesn't count. He wasn't playing. He was never on the field.
He has a ring. Rob Johnson has a Super Bowl ring, and that has bothered me for two decades.
I think they gave him the pewter version, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make me feel a little better.
But of course, Jack Eichel would be leading this. I stand by what I said on Friday. Jack Eichel winning the Stanley Cup this year would be worse than Wide-Right. It would be a worse Buffalo sports moment. I think it would be the worst Buffalo sports moment of all time. Him to leave the way he did. And then go on and win the Stanley Cup. I think that would just...
It's not a good look. I'm sorry. It's not a good look. It's not a good feel.
It's impossible to recover from. Even I didn't understand the hate that the Bruins got. I really don't even understand, like, Toronto. I don't want to see them win the Cup. But, like, now that they won a series and you can't make fun of them for that, like, it's kind of over in the same way the O'Reilly thing is over for me. The Jack Eichel thing would be terrible. It begs the question, Joe.
Yes.
Like, what type of person are you when it comes to this stuff? When you have, like, an ex, whether that is a significant other, whether that is an old friend, someone who used to be in your life, maybe it's an old company that you used to work for, or like coworkers or a boss or something like that. I mean, all these people you come in touch with. Are you the type of person who, after you part ways, you root for that person to go on and have a nice life? Are you the type of person who kind of holds a grudge and in the back of your mind, you're constantly thinking, yeah, I hope you fail. I want to do better than you.
I think it's like the list we just saw, Brian. I think it depends on how it ended, right? How it ended, what the relationship did to you, maybe while you were in it or afterward, right? I mean, if you had an ex who was Jack Eichel, I think you'd be upset that he has a job. You know, I think it is the way your relationship was, how it ended, and maybe things you found out about the relationship afterward.
Why I'm so petty, I think, maybe toward, you know, athletes and when it comes to the Sabres or the Bills, you know, less so for the Bills. Players, I don't know. You develop less of an attachment to football players than you do players on the Sabres. At least I do for some reason. That might just be me. But it's mostly Sabres, mostly in this. Ex-athletes that go and they play somewhere else, and yeah, I want to see him have a long, healthy career and never score a goal again. And that's very petty of me. But I think part of the reason is that's where the pettiness ends. Like that is where my pettiness lies toward these old relationships because I don't carry it over at all into normal life. Like that, it's sports. It's the whole idea. It's almost like an alternate reality. You could throw your frustration in it. You could use it as something to distract you. You can use it as relaxation. And you can even use it to hold on to those petty little grudges so that you don't in real life. And I think I do that because as much as I would root against Jack Eichel, and I don't want to see him, and if he won the cup, it would ruin my day the next time I'm in here. And well, that might be going a little too far, but I'd have a little sourpuss on my face the next morning. I never hold that in real life toward people. But my attitude is also not necessarily, hey, I hope you do really well in the future. If I have a breakup
it's
of
a
some
clean
sort
break.
In real life, it is... You are not really crossing my mind ever again. Like, I don't know. Is that rude? Is that just as bad as not rooting for the person? I don't care if you do well. I don't care if you don't. You are just kind of, it's like you never even existed.
That is probably the healthiest way to go through a breakup, right? Don't even care. Just, you know, that person's out there. You don't care. That's probably the healthiest way to do it. For me, it's all about the relationship. And I'll go to this Dear Abby article where someone said, you know, my ex-wife cheated on me 10 times. Now, if that was an ex of mine and I found out she had been, you know, cheating on me with 10 other people, I would wish nothing but awful things. I would hope that person lost their job. I hope they don't have a successful relationship. Again, it's like Jack Eichel. This person brought me down. I would imagine, if I read the article correctly, brought me down emotionally. I don't wish anything but awful things. However, Brian, to wish those things, you're probably still following up on this person, and that's where I think it becomes unhealthy. I think your suggestion to just let it go, I don't care what you do, I think is probably mentally the healthiest thing to do.
Yeah, you're no longer a fixture in my life, so you have limited amount of brain space. Like you have a limited capacity for every single day. You have a limited amount of time. Why would you spend the time, thinking about something that's over or wishing somebody harm who's in your past?
Right.
It does no good to you, like whatsoever.
Let me just clarify. Never wish any harm. You know, I might wish for you to lose your job.
I mean, that's harm. That's about it. Aside from like serious physical harm, that's maybe the most harmful thing someone can go through.
Wish you lose your job. Wish you don't have any successful relationships.
Harm. That's
wish. Don't wish you happiness.
I don't wish anyone harm. But I just wish you live the most miserable life possible.
But then there are people from my past exes that I hope they're doing great. I hope, you know, because it wasn't meant to be. Right? All right. Hopefully you find the person that was meant to be with. Hope you're having a great time. Hopefully you have find nothing but success. Again, it's just like Jack Eichel. It's all on the break. And yes, Brian, I should keep that to sports, but pettiness for me knows no end.
Yeah. But that's the thing with me. Like, I think it's probably not great for, like, I don't hope either. I just like, I don't, whatever. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
See you next.
I think that's the best way. I think I am showing not the healthiest way. You're the best way to break up. That's the best way. Okay, see ya. Out. You're out the door.
My wife sometimes, because we've been together for so long, you know, will like bring up old friends or something like that, or like, oh, like, did you ever, you know, think about or whatever, you know. She's like, a lot of people out there listening where, you know, they see something on Facebook or, you know, you follow somebody. Or, oh, did you see this? My answer is always, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. And, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
I might have read too much Dear Abby this morning. But as she says, once you break up with someone, you should unfollow them on all social medias. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. Did you see such and such? No, you didn't, because you should unfollow them on all social medias. That is from Dear Abby. That's not from Joe Beamer, even though
Who's
I agree.
Who's Dear Abby? I'm surprised Abby knows about social media.
Yeah. Well, Dear Abby, I did read this up after we talked about it. Dear Abby is, it's at the bottom of the page here. They say who she actually is, because her name's not Abby. The original Dear Abby wasn't Abby either. Of course, I can't find it. Oh, Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Janine Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. So that's where I'm coming up with a lot of the material on how to go forward, because a lot of people write in about their relationships.
It's been the same person this entire time?
Well, it's no longer Pauline. Now it's Janine. They were both Dear Abby.
All right. Well, I just said
but neither of them's
media.
Neither of them's real name in real life was Abby. I guess it sounded good. Dear Abby was better than Dear Pauline.
You mentioned the Dear Abby, and someone posted this around. My son will celebrate his 40th birthday soon. Has never been on a date and wants to know if she should intervene. And I don't know. I thought this was passed along to me this morning, Joe, and I thought it was interesting because I got like back to back in my inbox. Someone passing along this note. Hey, 40 years old, my son. How worried should I be? How concerned should I be? We were passed along the note saying, like, well, does everybody necessarily need a companion? Like, aren't people fine being alone? And then I get this. Loneliness presents a profound public health threat akin to smoking and obesity, according to the U.S. Surgeon General. Like, it couldn't have been more perfect timing in my inbox to have those two things back to back.
I think this goes along with what we're talking about, Brian. I think obviously loneliness, as you have that study there, is that a study that shows those things? Loneliness can be unhealthy, but I think a toxic relationship can be far more unhealthy. So I think it depends. Sometimes maybe loneliness is the better option. Depends on what kind of relationship you're in.
Well, it wasn't a study or anything. It was an advisory issued by the Surgeon General.
Okay.
Rallying people. I mean, here's a message everyone should be able to get behind out of Washington. The Surgeon General rallying Americans to spend more time with each other in an increasingly divided and digital society. You know, just talking about loneliness. But now that doesn't necessarily mean a significant other.
No.
It doesn't mean everyone has to get married or something. But
hang out with friends.
Yeah, you have to replace that with something.
Have people over for the game.
The thing is, though, like the pushback on that would be you can hang out with friends sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes.
Like, hanging out with friends is what? Like, how often do you get to do that in a week?
I think it just depends on your lifestyle, right? I mean, some people...
Right, but when you get to the age of 40, you're not running into a lot of people who are just available all the time
right. this
to
person
hang
is.
Out every night.
This person is available every night.
But right, but right. You want more than one time a week of, yeah. like, good social interaction with people.
That's true.
And I don't, like, does work count for that anymore? I don't feel like it does.
I think for us it does. We talk at work. We talk with everyone. We're socializing.
I guess, but I would not call work good social interaction.
Well, no, I don't, no.
I mean, there's hardly anyone in the building anymore. If you're working remotely, you're away from it all. Even if you're not working remotely, how much real interaction do you have on the job site? Probably not a lot. You're doing your work.
Yeah, I think it depends on the job. I think if you're working like a construction, you're probably talking all day, right?
No.
You walk by those guys, they're yelling stuff at each other. They're talking, they're hanging out.
Yeah, over the jackhammer, Joe. I mean,
yeah, I'm just saying, it is social interaction. You hang out for your lunch break. I think it depends on the job.
Like quality social interaction does not.
That differs from person to person.
Maybe. I would say, as a rule, it probably doesn't revolve around what you're doing as a job all the time.
No. But for some people, it might be enough. But for others, yeah, you need to find that other time to hang out. And for some, it is once or twice a week. And for some people, Brian, it's once or twice every other week, right? Depends on what your life's like at home, what you got going on.
Well, but that would
but
be
social
at
interaction.
Home would be the social interaction.
I realized that as soon as I was saying something.
No, that what they're saying here is that once or twice every other week is not enough, and loneliness can result in some of these things that you would typically think of as smoking. The risk of premature death posed by social disconnection, similar to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day, and even greater than obesity and physical inactivity, according to a review of a whole bunch of research on social connection. And it says socially connected people tend to live longer. And I think a lot of people would have examples of that in their everyday life, where if you're alone by yourself, maybe not doing so well. If you have people around you to go and hang out with, you have a reason to get out, move around, do that kind of thing, you're going to be doing a little bit better.
Yes, one leads to the other. Yeah, being more active. I get it.
Yeah.
By the way, for this Dear Abby person, though, that the my son is 40 and he's never been on a date, I don't think it would be a good idea for the mother to look for a date. I don't think that's going to help the 40-year-old son. That's just my advice.
Why not? If
it was Dear Joe.
Why not?
Hey, you know, my son, he's looking for, I don't know. Talking to someone who was set up by their mother.
I was going to say, like, you were literally set up with your wife by your mother.
But it wasn't like that. Right? I mean, it was, we were introduced, but then
Well, how do you think it's going to happen? It's not, hey, Dear Abby, do you have a list? It's asking advice, should I set my son up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
How?
Yeah, you're right. I should have thought about that before I said it.
Joe is anti being set up by your parents. I hope your wife isn't listening.
Maybe she feels the same way.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to go with that. Gordon Lightfoot passed away. And I mean, famous for a whole number of songs. I would think his most famous would be The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does that sound right to you,
it's
Joe?
The one I see more often. Right.
I mean, that's the one more people would hear. Listen in. In the early morning
rays. Canadian singer-songwriter Gordon Lightfoot became an internationally famous folk rock star in the 1960s. Country star Marty Robbins took his composition Ribbon of Darkness to number one on the U.S. country chart in 1965. And Lightfoot's own release, Black Day in July, about the 1967 Detroit riots, brought him wide recognition. Sundown, you better take care. More hits followed, including Sundown, Carefree Highway, and If You Could Read My Mind, while superstars like Elvis Presley, Bob Dylan, Barbara Streisand, and Judy Collins recorded his songs. In a 2017 interview, Lightfoot said much of his music came from personal experience.
I sort of started to be able to draw on the emotional, you know. Life became like a kind of a roller coaster, and you would get down in the dip, and that's when you would get the inspiration.
In 2012, Gordon Lightfoot was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Bill Deal, ABC News.
So, you know, passed away, 84 years old, one of the, you know, we call him a legend of folk music, certainly, and Canadian. And because of our kinship with Canada, I feel like everyone who is very popular in Canada, because of how exposed they are in Canada and how exposed we are to Canadian media here in Western New York, they take on a little bit of an extra popularity here.
That's right.
I mean, think about all the Canadian musicians, even TV shows, everything like that, that has a pretty good following here in Western New York.
Yeah, it reaches over the border.
Who are your modern day examples of a guy like Gordon Lightfoot, a living legend? And by modern, I don't just mean living legend like Willie Nelson is still alive.
Okay, that was
I mean modern as in like contemporary, releasing music. Maybe they have two or three records out. Maybe it's more. But who is your contemporary living legend when it comes to music? Some people will say there's nobody to replace these people. I don't think that's the case. Who's yours? Let us know. 803-0930. Beam Anson, Beamer on WBEN. All right, so what do you think, Joe? Who are the living legends that are going around right now? We were just talking about, before the break, the passing, which is unfortunate. Gordon Lightfoot, Canadian legend, folk music legend. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Although, you know, he's got some... I mean, that for me would be the... I mean, that's right. The one. I think you kind of cross into... What do you think about this idea? You cross into legend status musically. I'm immediately regretting what I'm about to say.
I did that last segment.
But if you are an artist who you would not really listen to that much, but you know a song. Like if you have a song that is widely known for years and years and years, even though you don't really listen to the artist, but you know the song. You're kind of vaulted into, now legend is too much of a word because
right.
This is also maybe describing a lot of one-hit wonders.
To say Billy Ray Cyrus, I wouldn't call a legend.
But it does like elevate you to
yes.
Another where like you can have a song in the public consciousness without people really
for
totally
decades.
Understanding.
Yeah.
But Carefree Highway, Sundown, a lot of other hits. And, it was asked this morning, who is... replacing these legendary songwriters, these legendary musicians as they're getting up there in age. We heard yesterday Aerosmith, right?
Yep.
They're all over 70 years old. They're having their farewell tour. Who's replacing these musicians? And I think, Joe, you have a lot of people who kind of walk around with the idea that they're never replaced, that there's nobody following that generation.
Right, and I think that's, there's always someone following, right? I'm sure 40 years ago, there were people passing away from the big band era, and, they're not replaceable, but there are legends that will take their place. They're still the legends, right? They'll always be, Gordon Lightfoot will always have a place in history, but there are people we're seeing now that 30 years ago, we're still going to be playing their music, still talking about.
Here's the big thing why I think people look at that question and answer it maybe a little bit differently. I don't think that they necessarily were saying that a long time ago.
Okay.
30 years ago. This is why. Because when this happened a generation ago, the music almost kind of disappeared too, a little bit. Now, you don't necessarily need somebody to replace a Gordon Lightfoot or a Johnny Cash or, you name all these, musical legends that might go on because the music is always there, always available to you in the pocket. There's more music than you would ever think of that, maybe you had one record. Well, here right in your pocket is everything they've ever recorded knowingly or unknowingly in their entire life that you just never had before.
Right.
You could go on the rest of your life only listening to Gordon Lightfoot if you really wanted to. Like, they don't really have to be replaced by somebody else. I feel like 40 years ago, that maybe wasn't the attitude. You knew that they were being replaced by other great songwriters because you were listening to them on the radio where,
right.
It was constantly being refreshed with new music.
That's right. Yeah. Now that music's there forever. You have access to, like you said, Brian, everything. It's amazing. There's music from 50 years ago that people are just discovering because it's there. You don't have to go buy the album. You don't have to go buy something. It's at your fingertips and you can go down a rabbit hole, as we talked about yesterday, down a rabbit hole and discover music that was popular in the 60s and 70s and maybe something that, isn't one of those classic rock songs that's played all the time, but sounds good, was big at the time, and now you've discovered it.
Well, to somebody, somewhere, especially today, right, because when somebody passes away, you know, their music becomes more popular. We see this all the time.
Yeah.
To somebody today, they're going to hear, you know, one of these songs, Early Morning Rain. They're going to hear, you know, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald for the first time. And aside from the ability to maybe go travel somewhere and see that person perform, there really is no difference to them whether or not they're around or not, or whether that song is 40 years old or 40 days old.
Right.
Do you kind of know what I'm saying? Because, like, it used to be, well, why are you, you know, even when we were growing up, Joe, I like to listen to oldies music. I like to listen to Elvis.
Yeah.
I liked the Beatles. You know, I liked a lot of this older stuff when I was growing up. And, you know, it definitely wasn't cool in school. Right? Like, what did people in school listen to? Stuff that was going on right now.
Yes, I was singing Return to Sender by Elvis. It was not cool.
Yeah, like that people were listening to, whether it's like the pop music when we were in school, it was like Britney Spears and the Backstreet Boys and the boy bands, or, you know, in the rock stuff, it would have been Blink-182 or, you know, like the Offspring record. I remember that was a really huge one in the 90s. And like you were listening to those, and if you listen to something old, you're cool. But everyone was listening to like the same 10 records.
Yeah.
Now, nobody's listening to the same music. So you don't, like, music is no longer, I think, like a way that people fit in school nowadays.
Right.
Well, everybody's listening to something different.
Right. It's not just the one boombox playing music, right? You probably walk through and people are listening to all different eras, all different decades, all different genres. You could be at one table, going back to the school example, you'd be at one table and everyone listening to something different in their headphones because they have access to all of it.
Yeah. It was one table, one CD player,
yeah,
one pair of headphones. You crank it up all the way and everyone kind of put their ear to it. And you'd all be listening to the same thing. Now everyone has their own thing going on, and everyone could be listening to something different. So when you don't need to have like that commonality, like I don't need to listen to the same music as you to, you know, have something to talk about or something like that, that you maybe had once in a while, or to feel like we're kind of on the same page.
Right.
So it doesn't matter now if we're all listening to different music. Someone discovers one of these Gordon Lightfoot songs today, they might treat it the same way as, you know, a brand new, someone on the text board mentioned Chris Stapleton.
Yep.
Chris Stapleton, like Gordon Lightfoot, to me, if they're both on my phone, I both listen to their song the first time today, what's really the difference?
Right. Yeah.
So, like, these older legends live on in ways that I don't think they did beforehand.
And something else that's at your fingertips that wasn't when we were younger, Brian, is access to live video. Yes, Gordon Lightfoot passed away, but you can go still find him performing those live, right? You can still get that experience of seeing a live performance from the 70s, 80s. I think I love going back and watching old concert performances from the 70s, 80s, even 90s. And I think that's pretty cool as well. It gets you to discover more from the artist.
You know what's weird? I hate doing it.
Oh, really?
I hate watching. I mean, I do it. I'll watch like live. Usually it's someone who's not around anymore. It's the only way you can kind of see them. Like it'll be like watching someone, like an old country guy, watching like how they performed live. You know, they were on some TV show back in the day, and you know, I might get a kick out of that. As far as like a live concert performance, I mean, I've got some DVDs and stuff that I like to watch. I hate watching a live performance on DVD. All I do the entire time is I wish I was there. It's no fun to me at all. Like when everyone in the pandemic were doing these pandemic, I've never felt more down in my life than watching some of these live streamed concerts in 2020. I hated it with every fiber of my being, knowing that I should be doing this in person. Like I need to physically be there. It's not the same at all watching this on TV.
Right. I mean, I didn't like the empty concerts, and I don't think it's the same, but it is experiencing. If you cannot watch it, if you cannot go experience it yourself, it is experiencing it. There's old
I totally disagree.
All right.
It's a completely different. It's you are not experiencing it if you're not there.
But you are.
You're seeing what it's like.
Seeing what that person performing live was like. And it's something that you don't have the opportunity to do now that they're deceased.
Part of the entire experience, though, is being there, is being with the crowd, is seeing who else is in the crowd, it's walking in. It's the entire experience. It's where are you in the audience? You know, where, like, people inside that building will have a different experience depending on how they're taking in this music. I'm going to a concert in a couple of weeks, and we're talking about moving around in this stadium that we're going to be in, or arena, because I don't like the experience of where we're going to be sitting versus where I want to be, you know, straight up in front on the floor.
So you're trying to get general admission?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, it's a totally different. I want to be in there. I want to feel the music. I want to be crowded with a whole bunch of other people. I want to have an actual experience. This faux experience of watching something on a screen is just, it's not the same thing at all.
Maybe experience is the wrong word, because I agree with you. Going to a concert, nothing beats it. And I agree 100%. However, I do like to watch former live performances. I think maybe experience isn't the right word. I like to enjoy them. You know, there are old 90s concerts I'll go back and enjoy watching. Like, there's a Garth Brooks concert my parents had on VHS. I like to watch that on YouTube, or a Whitney Houston concert. Those are things I like to go back and watch. So maybe not experience, but I can enjoy that. I do enjoy going back and watching some old concerts.
I'm never going to experience Jerry Reed playing guitar.
Yes,
but I can watch it.
Experience was the wrong word.
I can watch to see what it's like. But you have, I mean, that's talking about seeing someone in person. The experience is the same if you're just discovering
yes.
a recorded song
yes.
somewhere. So, like, in some ways, these people don't, there's not a need for them to be replaced because they live on in ways they never have before. However, I think they are constantly being replaced, Joe. Like, right. Gordon Lightfoot passes away. And there's so many great singer-songwriters who, have songs that, you look at Gordon Lightfoot. I look at him as, it's kind of like especially because, again, it's the Edmund Fitzgerald is the song that, you know, it's this big story. It's like a Tom T. Hall who passed away a couple years ago. Like, he was a storyteller. It was a story within the song. There are so many people who are doing the same thing. I think just a lot of times people are, they just don't want to learn anything new.
They don't like it. But that might be it. They don't want to like it, right? Like,
want to like it. They would like it, but they don't even try to give it a chance.
They don't allow themselves.
Because they're in your mind, nothing can be as good as this person. He's perfected it and everything. There are new musicians who are doing the same, better, improving upon, who are doing that same kind of thing in a different way that you've never heard before, that I think a lot of people like rob themselves of just because there is this attitude of, well, everything new stinks.
Well, you might not like her music, but I think Taylor Swift is one of the most talented songwriters, right? I mean, she is definitely, I think she has achieved legend status, and she is still making new music. Like, I think that is definitely someone. You might not like her music, but she is one of the most talented songwriters. She has gone from country to pop. Well, everyone's done that. But she's been able to go different genres, different styles, and everything she releases is super successful.
Yeah, I would flip around what you said. So you might not like her songwriting, but she's an excellent musician. That's the way I would look at her. I would, like, to me, a songwriter just passed away in Gordon Lightfoot. Now, technically speaking, Taylor Swift is a songwriter.
Yes.
That's not how I think people are going to remember her. People don't remember, did Whitney Houston write her songs?
I don't think so.
Even if she did, doesn't matter. You would not remember Whitney Houston as a songwriter.
No, she was an excellent performer.
You'd remember her as a performer. You'd remember her for the voice.
I think people are going to remember Taylor Swift as a songwriter. She wrote every song she's performed. She's been able to go different styles.
Okay, but like a lot
genres.
Of people write all their stuff and do different genres. Like, what
she's
about
been
the
super successful as a songwriter?
Okay, she's super successful as a songwriter, like on what song of hers is like, are people talking about the words of the song, or like, I don't think anybody views her as a songwriter.
I disagree, but I don't have any example to tell you why I disagree. I think more people today would say Taylor Swift.
She's a pop star. She's the biggest pop star, the biggest,
I think, her songwriting
musical
has a lot to do with that.
Superstar on the planet.
I think she gains a lot of respect because of her songwriting.
From who?
I don't know, from people in the industry. I don't know. I think she is, when we talk about people who write all their songs, and yes, there's a lot, but there's also not a lot. People who write their songs, I think she is one of the most successful who has taken songs that she's written.
She's not one. She's the most successful.
Yes.
Right now.
Who's taken songs that she's written in the last decade or even longer and can sustain this kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Relevancy.
But she won't be remembered as a songwriter, I don't think.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
40 years from now, no one's going to be like, oh, Taylor Swift, the excellent songwriter. Like, the lyrics just touched everything, and they're still relevant today. Aren't they all breakup songs? That's what I keep hearing.
A lot of them are breakup songs, but there's some love songs, too. You know, it's a love story, baby. Just say yes.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's just, like, the same junk. Like, does Ed Sheeran write his stuff? He probably writes all of his songs.
Well, yeah, he's the one getting sued.
It's the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, people remember songwriters. Like, people put Gordon Lightfoot in the category of a songwriter. Think about everyone who's described as a songwriter right now.
Okay.
Who is it?
Described as a singer-songwriter?
When you talk about past musicians, who's described as a great singer-songwriter? Mostly. I'll tell you who it is. It's Bob Dylan. It's Lennon McCartney. It's Gordon Lightfoot. It's a John Prine. It's, you know, a lot of these other people. No, that is the, you know, whether it's fair or not, that is the remembered as a songwriter. It's Paul Simon, Willie Nelson, remembered as a songwriter. No one is going to put Taylor Swift, like, on that list. She's a completely different type of music.
She's going to
be remembered as a pop superstar.
She's definitely a different type of music. I think hers, again, I don't know this to be true. This is how I view it. I do think her songwriting plays into why she is so popular.
Well, I mean, the songs will play into why she's so popular. She's not going to be remembered as a songwriter.
Okay.
She's not, who is remembered as a songwriter? You don't lump somebody. I mean,
but
Jay-Z is not going to be remembered as a songwriter. He's got to be the world's most famous rapper, or who, I don't know, who's the most famous rapper?
I mean, I think Jay-Z.
Eminem, whatever.
Yeah.
Eminem, and he writes all of his stuff.
Yes.
And he's not a songwriter.
You don't think Eminem will be remembered for writing his raps?
He is. He's not remembered as a songwriter. Songwriter is a category. It might be a fact that songwriter is someone who writes a song, but being remembered as a songwriter, I'm sorry, you fit into a certain genre of music.
Because of the music is what separates you from songwriter performer? The type of music?
Pretty much, yeah.
Someone put on the text board, Billy Joel. Songwriter, performer.
He'll be remembered as a performer. I don't know if when 50 years from now, you think about, like, oh, Billy Joel, when it's the obit game, right? What is mentioned in your obituary? The first line, Gordon Lightfoot, Canadian singer-songwriter. Billy Joel is not going to be singer-songwriter. Piano man, Billy Joel. That's what he's going to be remembered as. And a legendary performer. Taylor Swift, obit game. Are you putting singer-songwriter or are you putting music superstar Taylor Swift? Songwriters can only be so popular. Paul Simon's probably the biggest person in terms of popularity who will still be remembered as a songwriter and fit that category. Everyone else, no.
I haven't ever thought of it that way.
No rapper, even though they're all writing every word that you hear, whatever's on the album, I don't know if that's true anymore. That might have been true 20 years ago. Are rappers still writing all of their own lyrics?
Depends on the rapper.
It depends. No one's ever being put in that category and remembered as a songwriter. You're remembered as a rapper, which may mean the same thing at the end of the day, but it's just not how it happens.
I'm glad you brought up Eminem.
There are a lot of people who will be remembered as a songwriter who are living right now. Jason Isbell, he'll be in Western New York. He'll be, when he dies, singer-songwriter Jason Isbell. It's the type of music he plays. It's the type of songs that he has. He's got a moving impact. I'm trying to think of other... Tyler Childers is a songwriter. I think he'll be put into that category.
I'm sorry. I'm stuck on 50 years from now when Billy Joel dies.
Piano Man, Billy. I mean, we could play the obit game all day long here.
No, but...
Piano Man, Billy Joel.
I think Billy Joel would be happy to hear he's got 50 more years.
Music superstar. Well, you know, I'm just...
I know.
Music superstar Taylor Swift.
Yeah, you know, when you put it that way, you're probably right. The obituary will say, I think of the way she has, how she has jumped between genres and styles of music as songwriter. But you're right. She will be remembered the huge stadium shows, you know, 30 stadiums sold out in 3 months.
Do more people know Taylor Swift by the outfits or the lyrics?
I would say it depends on who you're talking to, but probably the lyrics. People at her shows. We'll know her by her lyrics.
Well, they'll know them, but what do they like more?
Her outfits?
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Do they like the glitz? Do they like the show, the music video, or do they like the actual song? If you sat down and read the song, how would it read?
You want me to read a...
I mean, I'm just saying. It's like a point of fact to what's going on here. Anyways, there's a lot of... songwriters.
There are. I will agree with
you. Replace that. There's a lot of people who write their songs, and then there's a lot of songwriters too.
And there's new ones every day. When someone dies, there's legends being made, legends in the making.
I hope.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are less now than there was then, I think, to be sure. But they're still there. We'll be back here tomorrow. BMaz and Beamer on WBEN.